Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible.
Hi, I'm David Johnson, and welcome to my home office, my control center, if you want to call it that. This is where everything happens for me. Welcome. Without a map or a GPS, a person is lost. I remember many years ago, before GPS was in existence, I shipped my vehicle to Bremerhaven, Germany, and then I was going to drive into Russia from Poland. And I got to the border. It was 26 hours long to cross the border. And through a supernatural event, I was able to get to the front of the line. I thought, though, at the border, I'd be able to buy a map. No such luck. There were no shops, nothing. And now I'm in Russia on a Saturday, due to preach in Minsk the next day in the morning. And I have no idea where I am. I looked at the roads were written in the Russian language, which I didn't know, the signs, and they looked like jigsaw puzzles that I couldn't even put together. I was lost without a map. I fortunately had a compass on board, and so I followed the compass and got there. But without a map and without a GPS, a person is lost. Now, today, our subject is how to become morally intelligent. And so this is a really big subject, and what I'm really hoping for is to provide some kind of a map, if you please, on how to get into this condition of moral intelligence. But before we do, I thought that what we would do here is do a bit of a review. So we're going to go back to the subject momentarily of moral intelligence. In fact, what is it? And so this is what we've already learned. So bear with me. And if you haven't seen the details, you should look them up. They're available in the first parts of the series. It's knowing the difference between moral and immoral, the difference between right and wrong, the difference between righteousness and wickedness. It's knowing the difference between virtue and vice. It's knowing the difference between what is honest and what is dishonest, the difference between glory and shame, the difference between good and evil. Woe unto them that put good for evil and evil for good. They're in big trouble. Moral intelligence is knowing the difference. It's knowing the difference between light and darkness. And there's so many shades of light. But it's told of the Lord that in He is light and in Him is no darkness at all. There's no grays at all. And so moral intelligence has to do with knowing the difference between real light and darkness. And the difference between God and Satan, that may shock you and surprise you. You'd think everybody would know the difference. They would know that God is good and the devil's bad, but some people don't seem to know that. And then moral intelligence is knowing the difference between love and iniquity, narcissism. Because they can look alike, but they are very much different. So that's what we started off with. Then we went to the subject of, what are the benefits of moral intelligence? So here's some more of the review. When you have moral intelligence, you will always know what is right in any given situation, every single one of them. You'll have the ability to see accurately, to evaluate every circumstance, decision in life properly. In fact, moral intelligence makes life a whole lot easier. It's the way of the transgressor that is hard. Evil is a hard way to live. So moral intelligence makes life a whole lot easier. And let's not make any mistake about this. Jesus made this really plain, didn't he? He said, my way is easy. Ha! People have this idea today that being a Christian is a really difficult thing. No, it's not. Let me give you just a little insight. The reason it's not difficult is because you don't have to do it alone. That's why the scripture says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. It's like we get to live like him, like imitate his life. But the power to imitate comes from the imitation. The power of imitation comes from derivation. So we derive the power from him to do that. So life is a whole lot easier. Another benefit is living morally intelligent brings a whole lot of rewards. Never forget that God, he that comes to God must first know that God is, and have to know what he's like. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then living intelligently helps us to avoid all evil consequences that we would otherwise face. These are some of the benefits that we've already learned. It creates a good conscience. In other words, you won't have to contradict your conscience anymore. Not only will you not have to contradict it, but you won't have to compromise it. You won't have to degrade it so it doesn't even work anymore. That can happen. You can defile your conscience. You can quench its function in your life. So now you can just do whatever you want, right or wrong. Well, let's talk about doing wrong and no prick of the conscience anymore. Oh, how tragic is that? But having moral intelligence makes that conscience very acute. And then living moral intelligence secures relationships. Just a real quick review about this for a moment. Moral intelligence will keep a marriage together. The lack of morality will destroy a marriage. Not only does it keep a marriage together, but it keeps families together. Moral intelligence secures relationships. Then it provides guidance. You become a godly example to other people. Wow, you become a light in a dark place, right? Because people see that you have integrity, that you do what's right no matter how difficult it is. It's one of the benefits of moral intelligence is to provide a good example to others. It's testimony of not just your lips, but your life is going to help. And then moral intelligence produces lifelong satisfaction. I mean, there's a joy. Nothing can ever take its place. The joy of knowing that what you've lived has been right. And then we learned that by living morally intelligent, you get the approval of God and his blessing. What could be more valuable than that? And then it provides the basis for eternal inheritance. Do you really think God wants to take beings who say, I don't want to do what's right, and then give that person eternal life to keep on doing what's not right? You see, sin and selfishness, narcissism, must be confined and restricted, because if God should give eternal life and then free people into the universe to go on living narcissistic, it would utterly destroy the whole universe. So we see one of the benefits is simply that moral intelligence provides the basis, because now God is wise in giving eternal life to beings who are going to live right. And then the last thing we learned was moral intelligence gives you the knowledge and the power to live love. You know, after you've crossed the stage of time and stand at the exit sign and you look back, I wonder what we each will see. Methinks that what we really want to be able to look at is a life that lived love. I mean, what else really matters? All your assets that you've accumulated aren't going anywhere. Living love is the big deal. So those are the things we've already learned. Now, before we go on to our main subject of the day, though, I want to give you one more. And so brace yourself, because the fact is that moral intelligence is the prerequisite for all other forms of intelligence. Here we go. Moral intelligence is the foundation of, are you ready now? Spiritual intelligence. People who do wrong are not going to be spiritually intelligent. My goodness. Moral intelligence is the foundation of mental intelligence. It's because you can't run a good race on a wrong track. In fact, moral intelligence is the basis of emotional intelligence. Got a whole teaching on that. Hope you look it up. And then moral intelligence is the foundation for social intelligence. Doing what is right affects relationships. You want to have social relationship intelligence. It comes only on the back of and the foundation of moral intelligence. And then educational intelligence. My goodness. We have much to learn about that, don't we? But moral intelligence becomes the basis of educational intelligence. Let's stop there just for a second. Because education is not sitting in front of teachers and professors for decades of time, telling them how and giving them the opportunity to fill you with information. I think it was Einstein said that the purpose of education is to learn how to think. That's different, isn't it? So it's the basis of educational intelligence. It's the basis of financial intelligence. Without moral intelligence, wrong financial decisions will be made. And then vocational intelligence must affect morality. Right and wrong must affect vocational intelligence. Domestic, how to run your family, household, domestic. Remember, you can't run a good race on the wrong track. You can't have a good family where the leadership, father and or mother, for example, as well, are not morally intelligent. That child is going to be handicapped being raised by a parent or parents that have no moral intelligence. And then lastly, moral intelligence is the basis for political intelligence. Oh my goodness. Don't we need that right now? Can you imagine making a political decision, which every citizen does when it casts ballot and vote? If morality does not determine political intelligence, then we shall be electing, empowering, establishing government that lacks moral intelligence. So we must vote for what is right. Now, the next thing we did in our review is we covered where do you find moral intelligence? So we're still in review mode, right? Where can it be found? So we talked about it being in mankind, and yet there's a way this seems right to a man. But the end thereof is the ways of death. Man, Scripture says, is not in man to direct his own steps. Wow. Then we checked out government. Remember? So we tried to explain the difference between a government that, according to our Constitution in America, is based on the laws of nature and nature's God. In place of that is a government that's based not on the laws of God, but on what's called positivism. And what is that? And we learned this, didn't we? Positivism is the rejection of theism, getting God out of the picture, believing that social rules can be positively and logically derived from some kind of scientific approach. And thus was born the whole idea of sociology. And it's tragic when a Supreme Court now makes decisions not on the basis of God's laws, but their own humanistic idea, rejecting God, and now we have laws that are immoral, that allow, I don't want to go down that track. I'm going to leave it to you to decide that. But the basis is either government is based on the laws of God, so that every court decision and every legislation is based on the laws of God. And that's what our Constitution called for. But somehow we've drifted up and we've lost the fact that we have to obey God rather than men. So we checked out mankind and we checked out government in much more detail. But just a little further comment about government. In Psalm 2, why do the unbelievers rage? And why are the people caught up in crazy stuff? Watch it now. Because the leaders of the earth have set themselves, and the other rulers have taken counsel together against the Lord, against the God of nature and nature's God. Government has said, get out of here, God. We're not following your stuff anymore. Even though it's in the Constitution, God, well, we don't care. We're going to go our own way, do our own thing, rank our own call, and humanism thus has taken the place of divine leadership. Look at this translation. What fools nations are to rage against the Lord. How strange that men think that they can outwit God. So, we learned that mankind was not a good option. That government generally is not a good option. And so that left God and his word. What a great option that was. Because God understands the way. He knows the place of moral intelligence. That's why you can trust him. Here's why. Because as the heavens are higher than the earth. Oh, I wish we had time to go into that. How high are the heavens above the earth? The closest big galaxy to us is like 200 million light years away. How high are the heavens above the earth? 200 million light years to the first galaxy, Andromeda. Look at this now. That's the speed of light, which is equal to 7.5 times around the world in a second, times the number of seconds in 200 million years. God's thoughts aren't even comparable. It's stunning to me that mere humanity thinks that they are smarter than God. Let's go back to the scripture. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Now look at this. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, says the Lord. And that's why the scripture says, man shall not live by bread alone. If you really want to live, then you live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's our review. So now we're... Are you ready to get started? Because here's our subject for today. How do we become morally intelligent? Now, that's our subject, and it's a big one. It's important. Remember, without a map, you're lost. Without a GPS, you're lost. We must know the way. So here we go. Number one, you have to realize how important moral intelligence is, or you will never pursue it. You'll never become moral intelligent if you don't see the absolute supreme value of being morally intelligent. Look at the scripture. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Yeah, you could say moral intelligence and moral stupidity. So watch this. I set before you life and death, and blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose. Only when you see the superlative value of something will you make the right choice. Now, watch this. Choose life that both you and your children, the seed, may really have life. All right. Number two. Consult only the legitimate sources of moral intelligence. Now, we've already covered other people and government. So let me just review a bit of it. We don't want to consult the non-vetted opinions of others. Got it? If you're going to consult legitimate sources, and other people are giving you opinions, you need to vet their opinion. What does that mean, to vet? It means to examine their idea carefully, to critically, and look for deficiency, errors, or inadmissibilities. It means to check thoroughly, to scrutinize. And so we must understand that we must consult only the legitimate sources, not the unvetted opinion of others. Here's why. Beware lest any man spoil you. Look at this. Spoil you through their philosophy or through their vain treachery, their deceit, or spoil you after the traditions of men, or after the rudiments of the world's way of thinking instead of after Christ. You do not want to consult the non-vetted opinions of others. Make sure that anybody's opinion that they give you is vetted. Now, look at this one now. You don't want to consult the unvetted opinions of government. We've referred to this, right? So Peter and all the apostles together answered and said, we have to obey God rather than man. You want to, what the government says is right, you want to vet it. Believe not every word they speak. You see, the authority of government is restricted to the fact that their rules are not biased, prejudiced, evil, but only in the interests of the people. Because, especially in our form of government, where we, the people, are the government and they're our servants. So make sure you vet. And then make sure that you vet the opinions of church leaders. Oh. Not everybody that wears a collar or looks ministerial should be trusted. Now, most people know the scripture. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But the danger here is to blame the people when, in fact, watch the rest of the scripture. Because thou, watch, and you're going to see who the thou is, has rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no. Now watch this, no more a priest to me, no more a church leader to me. You cannot be a church leader anymore. That's why the people are in trouble. They lack knowledge because you, look at this, have forgotten the laws of God. So watch out for religious counterfeiters. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, well, beware of the Pharisees, the hypocrites. and they can be very appealing. Look at the scripture. There are certain men crept into the church system unawares. They're really tricky. And they were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Now watch, here's these. They are ungodly men, even though they're religious. Look at this now. And they turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness, saying to people, hey, you can get to heaven and you don't have to have moral intelligence. Because look at what they do. They deny the Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They deny his right to be Lord, his right to be ruler. Oh my goodness. Look at this translation. Their design is to replace sheer grace of God with sheer license. They mistake liberty for license. For liberty is not the right to do wrong, but the power to do right. And so what has happened is that we have religious leaders who have crept in, breaking all the moral laws, not standing up for the moral laws, trashing the standards of God, trashing the standards of moral intelligence. You see, in contrast to that, here's what God does. He says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, when the enemy comes in like a flood, what does God do? The Spirit shall raise up standards. Moral, intelligent people believe in the standards. Let's look at one more scripture here. What has happened is that some people have infiltrated our ranks. And our scriptures warned us this would happen. Who beneath their pious skin are shameless scoundrels. Wow. So you don't want to consult. Excuse me. You don't want to consult unvetted church leader opinions. I don't know about you. That really makes me sad. I understand wolves, but wolves in sheep's clothing, that's a different story. What treachery. So consult only legitimate sources and make sure you vet what religious leaders have to say. Consult legitimate sources. Well, what are those? Well, how about the likeness of Christ? henceforth, look at this. Here too were you called because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Now watch, because you're about to see the difference between moral intelligence and the lack thereof. Watch. Who did no sin, that's morally intelligent. No guile was found in his mouth, no bitterness. Yeah. That's morally intelligent. Remember, the power of death and life is in the tongue. And when he was reviled, and you will be, there'll be mockers about you, pointed fingers. Watch this. This is some of the moral intelligence. Look at this now. When he was reviled, mocked, he didn't revile back again. Moral intelligence does not do back evil to people who do evil to us. That's not morally intelligent. And look at this. When he suffered, he didn't threaten. Instead, he committed himself to him that judges righteously. So you can tell a legitimate source is Jesus himself. There's nothing unchristlike about God the Father. There's nothing unchristlike about the Holy Spirit. Oh. But just before we leave the subject and move on to point number three, and I assure you that the next points will be shorter than number two, okay? Consult legitimate sources, the Word of God. Look at the Scripture. Wherewithal or how shall a young man get moral intelligence? How shall a young man cleanse his way? What does it mean to cleanse his way? It means to get moral intelligence. And what's the answer? Right in the same verse. By taking heed thereto, according to that word. Look at this now. Goes on to say, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not, no wandering, no getting away from thy commandments. Watch now. So thy word, this word that gives moral intelligence, that cleanses a young man, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee, that I might not do that which is not morally intelligent. Okay. So watch now, because we have learned to only consult the proper sources of moral intelligence. So my next tip is this. Get connected to him and them, Jesus, and his word, and stay connected to those sources. It's not enough to know the sources. You've got to connect with them. Got to make contact, they with you and you with them. So look at this, because it's not something you start and stop. If you continue in my word, then you're the real deal. Then you are my disciples indeed. And if you do that, then if you continue, then look at this, you're my disciples indeed, and then you will know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Wow. Get connected. Stay connected. That's why God sent his blessed Holy Spirit. With you, to lead you and to guide you. Yeah. Remember, as many as are led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. You get connected and you stay connected. It is a tragic thing that some people start and then quit. Look at the scripture. From that time, many of his disciples went back. That's terrible. And they walked no more with him. Oh my goodness, is that a sad picture or what? But it gets worse. Because remember that Jesus had a lot of disciples. There was the 12, then there was the 70, then there was 500. There's a lot of them. Huh? And so now he turns to the 12. Then said Jesus unto the 12, look at this. We also go away. If Jesus was sitting with you just now, and he asked you the same question, will you also go away? What would be your answer? I hope it would be the same as Peter's, because this is what he said. Then Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Lord, you're the one that has the message of moral intelligence that can keep us going in the right track. So continuance is really important. In fact, let's check one more verse with us. If you continue in the faith, grounded, settled, whoa, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Oh, this is really delightful news. Now, if Jesus seems far away, and I've had people tell me that, they say, God seems far away. And my question would be, if God seems far away, and I've had people who used to walk with the Lord, used to know the Lord, but now they say, he seems far away. So I ask them this question. Who moved? Because here's what he said. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. If God seems far away, guess who moved? Look what he says. He said, I'm never going to leave you, and I'm never going to forsake you, so that you can boldly, that means with courage, say, hey, the Lord is my helper. Because you know what? He helps us. He's not just hanging out with us. He's there to help. He sent this comforter, the Holy Spirit, to called alongside to help, right? So you can say, the Lord is my helper, and look at what you can also say. I will not fear what men may do unto me. Why is that? Because the Lord is in fact with you. Okay, let's go on to number four. It's going to be important that you deny, refuse, reject any and every conflicting notion that comes from any other source. And Jesus said unto them, take heed, that means take heed that no man, don't let anybody deceive you. Look what he says. Take heed what you hear. You better check out. Because if anybody or any source, any movie, any video, any music, any lyric of song has something of content that you just don't want to give it rental space in your mind, right? You need to deny it, refuse it, reject it. Any notion from any source, watch what you listen to. Watch out. Make sure that you deny. Now, this might seem cold and cruel, but let's take a look at Scripture. Because if anybody come to you and does not have this doctrine, that is the doctrine of Christ and the things we're talking about more, don't accept what they say any longer. So look at this delightful scripture. Because here's the result of rejecting, denying, giving access of any other source into your life that would be counter moral intelligence. So here's the scripture. Blessed. Oh, this is a great word. Blessed is the man. Now watch this. That walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Listen to no counsel about any subject that comes from an ungodly person. Well, no matter what kind of advice it is, financial or otherwise. So blessed is the man that doesn't walk in the counsel, that doesn't hang out in the way with sinners. So why would that be? Why would God say, don't hang out with them? I mean, we love them. We befriend them. But we're going to come to more detail on that. But before we do, because there's a law of association go into a room with a skunk, and when you come out, everybody will know where you've been because that's the law of association. So he says, don't stand in the way with sinners, and don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't join into their mockery. Make sure that you refuse and deny all forms of conflicting ideas to you. Number five. Here's probably the positive way of saying the same thing. Meditate in the scripture day and night. Remember, don't walk in the counsel of ungodly, but instead, your delight is in the law of the Lord. The laws are rules of action of God, and they're smart. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Whoa. So what happens now? We reject all the wrong incoming stuff, and we receive the right stuff. Not just momentarily, but it's a day and night thing, constantly. Remember the accusation about the wicked. God is not in all their thoughts. Ah, is God in all your thoughts? If you does, you'll be on the right track. You're going to have moral intelligence. And this law doth he meditate day and night. And this is what results. You will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Ooh, lots of nourishment. You will bring forth fruit in your season. No part of your life shall wither. And look at this. Everything you do will prosper. Look at this now. You're not just going to prosper in one way like money. You're going to prosper in that too, of course. Because God doesn't want you broke. But you're going to prosper in every area of your life. The problem is, the ungodly, those that refuse to meditate in the good stuff, are not so. But they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Mm-mm-mm. They're not going to last long. Now, I know you may think, this is a little bit long, but I'm used to long. I could teach from morning to night, longer than most people can listen. But in order to shortcut here, I want to take you to let you know that on our website, we have a teaching called How to Have Success based on the scripture you just had. So if you go to nothingbutthetruth.org and just type in question mark success, this will come up. And in this 28-minute teaching, you will get to see everything and hear everything there is about learning how to meditate in God's words, because it is the secret to success. All right, number six. We have to keep our body pure if you're going to become moral. Until you can't let your body dictate to you. You have to dictate to your body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? But you have a God, and you don't now belong to, you belong to him, right? For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, you need your body. Your body is your vehicle to carry you across the stage of time. You need to look after it in a whole lot of ways, obviously. Nutrition is really important. Cleanliness is really important. But not letting your body rule you. And how does it do that? Because people can come along and create appetites in you that your body responds to, right? And that's why the scripture says that you should present your bodies like a living sacrifice. Let me talk about that living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they would take dead animals and sacrifice them to God. So we don't give dead. We present our bodies as a living sacrifice, not dead, but alive. And if we do that, now watch this. then your body will be holy. Then it will be acceptable unto God. And this is your reasonable service. So present your body. Don't let your body rule you. You rule it. And then keep your mind renewed. Now, we talked about meditate day and night. And if you do that, you will keep your mind renewed. But watch this now. Be careful not to be conformed to the world. Because while you meditate, the world's going to keep coming with their false ideas, false philosophies, immoral, and lacking in intelligence, right? So don't be conformed to that, but instead be transformed. Stay in this transformed, be transformed. Well, let me talk about that just for a minute. It's like this. God formed us. Sin deformed us. Men try to reform us, but Christ transforms us. Did you get that? God formed us. Sin deformed us. Men try to reform us, but Christ transforms us. So watch this now. Let's go back to the scripture. How do you stay transformed? By the renewing of your mind. You got to keep moral intelligence all the time. Because if you do that, you'll be able to prove what is good, what is acceptable, and what is the perfect will of God. Now, my next point is simply this. You need to practice the biblical principles that empower you to do two things. One, control your emotions. Two, control imaginations. Whoa. Emotions were never designed to be the guidance system. Follow your emotions, you're going to be in trouble. Instead, your emotions were designed to be the emotional the energy behind wise choices. They aren't to guide us, they are to empower us. Now, to get this real quick, the best way I can help you get there is to recommend that you view this 28-minute video called How to Control Your Emotions. And I'm going to walk you through in that video the significant and important steps on how you can have a grip on your emotions. Your emotions will not control you, but you will control them. Nothingbutthetruth.org. Just type in emotions, it will come up. There's another teaching on there, how to properly control emotions. And then there's one on how to control imaginations. Ooh. The power of imagination is greater than the power of will. Imaginations control us. In fact, here's how, I think it was Genesis chapter 11, verse 9, I think it is. Nothing which they have imagined to do shall be restrained from them. When imaginations take over and get us in their grip, most frequently, moral intelligence ceases to exist. Now, this is what advertising is about, to create an imagination, get you to believe in a product, get you to believe you need it, get you to believe that without it, something's wrong with you. You need to learn how to control imaginations, because if you don't, every video, every movie, everybody's out. All the voices, all the pictures are out to control you. And they do that by stimulating your imaginations, thinking, if you could do this, think how happy you'd be. And they get you in a death grip. It's like the long, yellowy fingers of death are choking you, and those imaginations just drive you every direction. So make sure you view those. And then number 9. If you fall or fail, and we all do, be quick to confess and repent. Here's why. Because if you confess our sins, face them up. Face up to them. He, God, is faithful. That means he will always do the same thing. And he's doing it with justice. He has the right to do that. Nobody else does. To forgive us our sins. He will forgive it. But he doesn't just forgive it. But he's able to cleanse us from, look at this, everything that was not morally intelligent, all unrighteousness. Oh my goodness, how delightful is that? Now I come to my last point for the moment, because remember our subject is how to become morally intelligent. So I want to give you one last tip from Scripture. It's this. Only fellowship with those of kindred spirit. Stick with people that are going the same way, because you'll help each other. So here's what Scripture says about that. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. To remember how a few moments ago I talked about the law of association, here it is. Once again, look at this. He that walks with wise men shall be wise. They rub off on each other. What rubs off? Wisdom. In contrast, this, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. That's why the question is asked, and how, and by the way, another teaching available, 28 minutes long, on our website, nothingbutthetruth.org, right? By the way, tell everybody about that website, will you? Tell them the wealth that's there, free of charge, for everybody. Nothingbutthetruth.org. If you type in the word fellowship in the search, you will come up with this video, How to Have Genuine Christian Fellowship. And so it'll help you a bunch. But let's go back to the Scriptures. And let's understand, first of all, what fellowship is. Because you can have associations with people, but not fellowship, right? I mean, you have to associate with a whole lots of people, right? But fellowship is a different idea, a different category. Look at the definition. Fellowship is the condition of being in agreement or alliance with another person or persons. It's being in agreement. I mean, it's a camaraderie. I mean, it's like two peas in a pod. Like, how can two people walk together, like Hosea says, except they'd be agreed. But when we have this agreement on really important stuff, wow, the bonding that takes place, the fellowship that takes place. And what is the fellowship? It's the condition of being in agreement with somebody and being in alliance with them. In other words, we're all in together with another person or persons. So comes now the Scripture, and this is what it says. Be not equally yoked together with an unbeliever. Watch it now. Be not only yoked together with the morally unintelligent, because they don't believe in moral intelligence. Now here's the reason why. For what fellowship, remember what fellowship is, right? Hath righteousness with unrighteousness. And what communion hath light with darkness? Just doesn't mix, right? As God has said, and this is the great thing, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. Can you imagine that? God walking in you. I will be their God, they shall be my people. So come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, the morally unintelligent stuff, and I will receive you. And I'll be a father to you. And you will be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The greatest fellowship you can ever have is with the Lord Himself. What a connection. What a permanent state of being you can live in. I hope you are. And I hope that it has really helped you to understand how you can become morally intelligent. My prayer for you is really simple. May God bless you and make you a real nuisance to the devil. Amen.